Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hello!
Hey!
Welcome, my geek friends.
Peter, I like your hair this morning. It looks sort of like the hammerhead guy from Star Wars.
Yeah. It looks very Back to the Future to me.
You think so?
Yeah, he looks like a really young doctor.
Okay. Sort of.
Marty, we must go back to the future.
Yeah, what they're really saying is that Peter needs a haircut and that Peter rolled out of bed this morning and didn't do anything with his hair.
Peter, I strongly suggest you look around the room at all the hairstyles around you right now.
Yeah, really. Well, how was everybody's geek week?
I had a lovely geek week, actually. I experienced a brand new board game last night.
Oh, yeah?
I believe I may be the first geek to have gone out and finally tried the World of Warcraft board game.
Ooh.
Nice.
Oh, you did play.
Sexy, yeah. Sassy.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. Though I don't think I would actively go out and recommend it to people to buy. Mm. I think the investment is probably a little too much for what you get back.
Better for people who have played Warcraft or better for people who do not know nothing about it?
I don't know how to answer that, and I'll explain why. The game is well designed to the point where if you are playing a paladin, your paladin will behave in the board game as it does in the video game, i.e., you can't kill anything. I mean, you just can't put anything down, but nothing can kill you.
Right.
So you just have these endless battles. So
that doesn't sound good.
Well, as a paladin, as a warlock, you walk in and you can drop that sucker in one round, but if you don't, you're dead.
Right.
You know. So the way it worked out last night was it was three people against three people, three horde, three alliance. And I was a priest, we had a paladin and a warlock, all three in our team. And when we walked into things, we just shoved the paladin in the way, he took all the damage, and the two of us dropped it as quickly as possible. And it was just like World of Warcraft, but in your head and on paper. You know?
Here's the problem that I have with that. I've seen it played a couple times now, is that you have to have teams.
You do have to have teams.
And if you don't have a... If you don't have an even amount of players, then one person has to play like two characters.
That is true.
And that's just not ever fun.
Okay.
Well, you know what? If you don't have an even number of players, just play a different game. You know, it's...
Well, true. It's just one of those games that you can't...
If you can afford a different game after you put out...
True, but, you know, the games that scale well, where you can say, hey, a couple people are going to come over tonight, we're going to play... Puerto Rico.
Right. Yeah. Like Starfleet Battle.
Three to... Yeah. Exactly. Starfleet Battles, you can play a single... You can play
solo.
Solo.
Yeah. As long as one guy has a PhD in Starfleet Battles.
Actually, I just picked up this game, Runebound. The reason why I picked it up is because I heard an interviewer of the guy from Fantasy Flight Games, which is where that comes from. And essentially, the company said, well... We really like Talisman, so we wanted to make Talisman the game, so they just made this game.
And it's effectively Talisman?
Essentially.
Ooh.
But
Talisman.
Because Talisman doesn't exist anymore, you can't buy it.
Because you can't buy it. Right. So
not because they were just ripping it off.
This Morons. Game this game here, just like Talisman, you can play single player.
Oh, I got Guitar Hero, and I'm going to bring the guitar over.
Oh, you got Guitar Hero.
And we're going to have a battle.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. He's calling you out.
Guitar Hero is a great game if anybody doesn't already know that out there.
Yeah.
Oh, any reservations I had about Civilization 4 have been laid to the wayside. It's too good. It's too good.
Really?
This is a geek experience that every video gamer out there has had. It's a bit of a tangent, Aaron. Aaron is looking at me and steam is already starting to rise off of him. At about 10:30 at night last week, I'm getting ready for bed and I'm like...
Just one more level.
Just not ready to go to bed yet. So I'm just going to turn on Civilization. I'll start a new game and just try and get a Civilization placed right for me to, play it later
just
on.
Just one or two things, 10 minutes.
Next thing I know, it's 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 1895. I'm 2 years away from a culture victory going, must build cathedral. And literally, my little mouse button is moving towards the end turn button that'll just win me the game. I just have to click the button when I'm informed the Molinese have entered outer space and I have lost. At 3:30 in the morning on a work night. Anyway, go on.
Wow.
Oh, duh.
Tell me you haven't had that experience.
No, no.
Everyone here has had that experience.
Has anybody played the board game version of Civ?
Only the original Avalon Hill one.
Not the recent one?
No, not the recent one. I actually heard bad things about it.
Huh. Okay. All right, Peter.
I'll start us off.
Do it.
Taiwan breeds green glowing pigs.
Yeah. Those crazy Taiwanese.
So they've created transgenic pigs by adding genetic material.
Transgenic pigs is even better than green glowing ones.
Yes. Genetic material from jellyfish into a normal pig embryo. So these pigs have a slight greenish cast to them, but when you put them under certain lights, they glow green.
Yeah. If you put it under like a black light, they glow like a big
What is the
black
function
light.
Of this? Why? So you can find your bacon in the dark?
Well, actually the function for this is that if you want to do something like, say, inject some stem cells into another animal from this pig, you can then track those cells because those cells will be green and will glow green under a blue light. So it's a way of
it's like a tracker. Again.
But doesn't that do that anyway if you just irradiate it?
No. This is you holding up a black light to something and seeing what glows green. You'll be able to tell what cells were originally the pig cells and growing from other pig cells.
Right, but I'm saying if you pull those same stem cells out of a regular pig and irradiate them and inject them to someone.
I think that the irradiation would then affect the cells. I mean, you're putting radiation into the cell. It's going to...
But not only that,
this has affected them too.
Yeah,
maybe radiation.
It's no longer pig stem cells, it's jellyfish stem cells.
Radiation doesn't work like the cartoons where it glows.
The glowing dye you drink does.
Well, that's dye.
Okay.
There's a dye. You know, the dye has the color to it. So,
but radiation and dye is two different things.
Irradiated dye is irradiated.
Okay. But what we're talking about is taking cells.
It's in the name.
Okay. The answer is that we don't really know.
I have no idea. I'm talking out of my ass.
But it seems.
Why?
To me,
yes, you are.
It seems to me.
It's a knack.
Oh.
It's strange watching an ass talk, but no. It seems to me like if you irradiate a cell, it's going to change the cell in a dramatic ways that aren't controllable. But if all you're doing is putting a marker in the cell that makes the cell a different color and makes the cell very easy to track, that's a less invasive procedure.
Okay. And not only that, but when they split and change and multiply, they still have that gene in there. So that's what they'd be able to track. If you irradiate a cell and then it goes and splits into three or four other cells, those aren't necessarily radiated. But this would have the gene continue on through generations and generations of that cell. So you could track the genetic code of those.
Good hypotheses.
I would imagine they would be irradiated.
Yeah, I would imagine they would be irradiated too.
Okay.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm just saying.
Well, if like an amoeba is suffering from radiation sickness and
Where's
splits,
your friend when we need
it's
her?
It's not like one half of the amoeba is just going to take all the
we'll
radiation
check with,
it and leave the other
kind. I think we should leave this with we'll check with Joy.
We'll check with Joy of the sexy voice.
Joy knows
we'll
all.
Check with anybody with a degree in science. How about that?
I have a psychology degree. I don't even know what we're talking about.
We're like, everyone's listening to us going, what the hell? It's like,
all right,
but wait.
Oh, wait, no, you're not.
Even their heart and internal organs are green, the researchers say, which brings up the concept that you can now have green eggs in hand.
Yeah. Oh my God! Wow, went right there.
Well, as
but
soon
would
as
it sting as you swallow it.
I mean, well, I think that they've only taken the glowing green part of the.
Yeah, it's not the actual tentacles.
Well, and they also
from
haven't
the
got
of the pig.
But imagine jellied pig's feet from a pig that's half jellyfish.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Well, imagine if
these hooves are squishy.
You had, stinging pigs running around.
Yeah. All right, Matt.
Trying to catch the grease
beat this,
pigs.
Hold on. Porkagese man of war.
I was already there. I was going to say it, and then I retracted it because I didn't want you to look at me that way. All right. Anyway, so there's a man in England, and he's been jailed for not killing a woman. Yes. Okay. Jailed for not killing the woman.
I'm waiting for the geek part.
Damned
of
if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, that's geek news.
In the UK, a depressed woman wanted to die.
Matt just brings in random news stories, not exactly. Geek news stories.
Well, it's like Weekly World News, which, okay. You know.
Geeks all right, keep going.
In the UK, a depressed woman wanted to die. She gave her friend £20,000 to hire a hitman to kill her. Her friend kept the money for himself instead. So she called the cops on him, and now he's serving a 15-month sentence for deception. See, you loved it.
It's not very Weekly World News. Yeah.
A judge told the married father, while it's clear you had no intention of arranging for someone to kill Miss Ryder and didn't propose to do it yourself, you deceived her into believing that it would happen. So,
and she's free.
Yep. She's free.
Okay.
That's weird.
That's what country is this?
England.
Well, she was just trying to commit suicide. I mean, suicide is not a criminal punishment.
Oh, kill herself? Kill
herself.
Her? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
She hired...
Silly moral. Okay.
She hired her friend...
To kill her.
To get someone to kill her.
Oh, okay.
You know, because she wanted to die.
Okay, I feel silly asking this question, but it's on my mind now. If you hire someone to kill you,
mm-hmm.
is that... I mean, functionally it's suicide, but would you call it suicide? Mm-hmm.
No,
I think you would call it suicide and murder. In other words, someone would say she committed suicide by having someone commit murder on her. It's like death by cop.
Is suicide legal?
Yeah.
No.
No, it's not.
It's not legal, but it not has no here. Criminal punishment.
Because you're right.
Actually, you know what is legal?
It's committal.
You can be committed for it, but psychologically
you can be committed for failing to do it.
Yes.
Interesting.
And actually, if you succeed, I think you've gotten away
exactly,
with it.
Exactly. You've gotten away with
there's
it.
There's a couple states now, I think two now, that have the assisted suicide.
Yes.
Thank God.
Do they really?
I've
heard that.
Oregon, and they're trying to push it for California.
And in fact, the Supreme Court just upheld that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, thank God that there are some brain cells out there. There's some compassion out there.
And they glow green.
All these, like... I don't mean to bash any particular religious organization, but all these extremist religious organizations in our country, they have no compassion at all for these people.
We're talking specifically about people who have terminal diseases that are extremely painful and
you
slow.
You have to have only 6 months left to live and have a terminal disease.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move
we
on.
We should clarify that.
All right.
Don? Notice Don remained silent through that entire discussion.
Yes, it's Don's job to bash religion, Aaron. Don.
I'm being good,
I wasn't bashing
duos.
Religion. I was bashing a group of people who are out of their minds.
Okay. All right.
All right. The Sci-Fi Channel's to air the new Doctor Who series that
Woo-hoo.
Has been so successful on the BBC.
Woo-hoo.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Has it been successful on the BBC?
I hear it's been successful. Okay. I don't know the actual ratings.
Okay.
I know fans have been satisfied with it from what I've heard.
Great. Okay. Go on.
Oh, actually, you know what? I have to partially retract that. I had read very good reviews about it, and then when I talked about it briefly on, I think it was our forums, actually, I got a whole bunch of like links to sites about people saying it's just a bloody awful.
I'd heard that the first of the episode was awful, the first of the season, but I haven't heard anything since then.
Hmm.
And you're
well,
like,
well,
up
be
on
able
who,
because you had to do all that Who research, right?
Actually, my Who research was pre-the-new.
Pre-the-new Who?
Yeah, pre-the-new Who.
Yeah. So this is like the 8th Doctor, the 10th Doctor, or something?
No, it's got to be like 14.
Does he have to be 12 now?
Yeah,
I mean, he's
12.
Supposed to get younger every time
There's supposed
does.
To be like only 5, right?
Well, no, actually,
I don't, know.
I don't think he does get younger each time.
It's no, he that, doesn't get younger each time.
It's just that
it's
he's
a random
reincarnated
thing.
As a different Doctor with different
oh,
age.
I just, in my head, I remember the order they came in, and I seem to remember them all being younger each time.
I think that's true, but I don't think it's part of the plot line. I think that, that they were like, oh, our ratings are going down.
Let's get somebody who's 32.
The guy after Tom Baker, he was like this suave, blonde kid, and I'm like, that ain't the Doctor.
No. You know? Well, it's hard to follow up Tom Baker because he was such a
weird.
Good, well, he had such a great personality because he was cunning. And a little bit cruel, a little bit sadistic.
And he was weird.
He was weird.
Yeah.
But with all those
cool scarf
things made him such an interesting character. And then you've just got this normal kind of white bread, you know, athletic blonde guy doing it. It's
I had my ex-girlfriend make me a cool doctor scarf. Do you remember this? This debacle?
I do.
Okay. I had her make me a cool, I wanted a 7 to 9 foot cool doctor scarf. And I was telling her that I wanted it to be multicolored. And so we went out, and I chose the thread and everything like that.
And in the end, what it turned out to be was a...
Well, hold on. Before this is done, you have to understand when Matt went out and got the colorful scarf, he got a very colorful scarf. He got all seven colors of the rainbow.
All seven colors of the rainbow. Yes. And so I put it into the scarf, and then I wore it around, and I realized walking through West Hollywood...
Wearing the seven colors of the rainbow has an entirely different connotation.
It's like your big gay pride scarf.
Exactly.
It's like 10-foot
is now my Doctor Who gay pride scarf.
May I also point out that, Matt, since you drive a convertible...
Oh, yeah.
A long Doctor Who scarf is not necessarily the best thing, because there was actually a supermodel that got killed... Way back in the day.
Really?
From driving with an extremely long scarf.
It was a dancer.
Isadora
Duncan.
Yeah, and she got her scarf got
Isadora
into the wheel.
Isadora Duncan was killed with a scarf?
Yeah, her scarf got caught in the rear axle of her car.
And it...
Oh, God. Sorry, Isadora Duncan fans.
Why does he think that's funny?
You're a monster, man. You're a monster.
All right. Aaron, okay.
Moving along.
Anyway, it's going to start airing January. Excuse me, not January 12th. It's going to start airing in March, I believe.
Yeah,
it's
March.
In the article.
I just have some announcements. Besides Doctor Who, there is a new game by Fantasy Flight Games called Warrior Knights that just got released this week.
Schmancy Pants.
Knights with a K or Knights with an N?
K. Each player takes on the role of a baron vying for control of a kingdom. So you go around from town to town. You try to...
Baron with a B-A-R-R-E-N? Or
baron. Oh. There's voting,
baron
planning.
Baron Knight sounds like my dating life.
There's a... Essentially, you're trying to kind of take over the country by rallying people and troops and gathering armies and then taking over other people. It looks kind of interesting. It's cool. Another one of these games with lots of bits and pieces and that type of thing.
Oh, so it's a board game.
It's a board game.
Okay,
yes.
I didn't catch
your
on
closet
to that.
Must be getting full, Aaron.
I didn't buy it. I'm just saying it got released. But yes, it is getting full.
And it's gotten good reviews?
Don't know. Just got released. No one's even touched it.
Sounds interesting.
But the other announcement I have is a World War II video game called Battleground Europe for Mac and PC. It's like Battlefield in a way, but it's got like 600 cities, 29,000 buildings.
Shut
zoneless
up.
Map covers 350,000 kilometers.
Whoa.
Of terrain. 4 million trees. Battles can destroy 200 bridges. Thousands of people play online simultaneously. It's a giant World War II game that's like constantly going.
So we could just decide if we're German, I think we should invade Avignon tonight?
Yes. And you can get some people go over and just raid a different city.
That's cool.
That's kind of
hell.
Fun.
It's pretty cool. Now, the graphics are very simple. It's not like you're not going to be blown away by the graphics, but because there are so many things going on.
It'll get
so
there.
Anyway, it looks kind of interesting. It's like $19 or $20, I think.
Seriously?
You can buy it online, Mac and PC, so everybody can play.
Maybe we should do that and review it.
Okay. Maybe.
We could actually play together, you Mac people.
I know.
Wow.
Doesn't Whacky. Happen often.
Whack Max.
So I have two quick ones. Well, one quick one and one long one. One of them is robotic cookware. Okay.
Ooh.
It is cookware that you actually, if you have a recipe, you put it on a chip, you plug it into the cookware, and the cookware will actually talk to the stove and regulate the temperature. So it won't let something get too hot, or if something's got to be cooked for 3 minutes, then reduced, it'll automatically do all this for you.
Okay.
I just thought that
was... So it happens like a couple times.
Yet again, like how many lazy people strike again.
But like how many recipes do you... Is that very complex?
Actually,
how many times do you like...
Well, if you're making sauces, definitely.
Yeah.
Sauces, desserts, like...
Okay, so like you turn it down once.
I mean, even rice.
So you're going to sit there and go...
But keep in mind...
And plug in this whole big thing so it will reduce one or two times. I mean, just go and reduce the damn heat.
That's what I'm saying, laziness.
Well, it'll also just regulate the heat in general. I mean, gas stoves, you just kind of guess how hot something's going to get. This will, if you want something to be 300 degrees, it'll be 300 degrees.
That's true, and you don't have to worry about something staying on the stove and burning ever again.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So, kind of interesting.
But
the nerds who will buy this will have their mac and cheese perfect. Every single time.
I don't know. I mean,
mac
there's an art
and
to cooking.
Cheese.
It just seems like this would kill that, you know?
Yes, but there are some people who are artless. And for those who are artless, as many of us geeks are, okay, it'll help us. So
no,
the geek impaired can help.
Let me ask, though. I got to throw this out there. If you're not a cook, are you going to go out there and buy this cookware? if you don't cook.
Yeah, I think some people will.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people,
fair enough. True cooks will never buy this.
Right.
And B, people who do not have the talent of and the art of cooking, this will do nothing. That's like saying my robotic paintbrush painted this beautiful painting.
Hey man, you know, just not I saw the omelet maker on television, which is an omelet pan, and you can flip. You literally flick a lever on the thing, and it flips the omelet over for you,
mm-hmm.
which would look like the stupidest time. Get a frickin' spatula for God's sakes, and. You know, people are buying it.
So. I'm going to amend that, actually, because if they can make the chip disposable,
mm-hmm.
then they can just put the chip in with the all prepackaged food you buy.
That's true.
You can just take it out, plug it into your pan, don't have to worry about directions, just dump the crap in there and walk away.
Or if they create the pan in such a way that...
I just don't see it.
If they create it in such a way that you could just download it onto your from your computer into your stove wirelessly, oh, this is what I want to cook. Bink, you're done.
That's more complex than actually turning down the heat once. I mean, come on, let's weigh the amount of
But Aaron, we're not talking about the fact that it just may turn down the heat. We're talking about the fact that it precisely keeps temperatures. So
An oven? How about you invent an oven called an electric oven where you turn it to the temperature and it stays there?
Well,
electric ovens, you just turn it
and we're not talking about ovens, we're talking about stoves.
Yeah, but think
well, you can do that with a stove too. You can set the temperature of an electric stove.
Think about a remote control, man. I mean, a remote control is one of the most complex things in the entire world when we just needed it originally just to change the bloody channel.
Yeah, but the difference between a remote control is that it's preventing you from actually moving. So, yes, it might take you 10 minutes to sit there and look down and find the button, but at least you didn't move your damn ass off the couch.
Yes.
I love the phrasing there. It's not stop. It's not actually just aiding you in changing the channel. It's preventing you from moving.
Yeah. Well, let me also point out, though. I mean, this is a situation where then you could leave something on the stove and leave it.
You don't have to sit there for 45 minutes
to watch it. You don't have to remember.
What's your long news story?
But you will. That's because you will, though, because you still got to stir the crap. So
depends. So, 15 tech concepts that you'll need to know in 2006. Except for I'm only going to pick a couple of them.
Okay.
Okay, one is this thing called a driver monitoring system. So what this does is it monitors whether or not you're watching the road. It actually has a camera that watches you. So if you're not looking forwards, it tracks how close you're getting to something in front of you.
Can I make a suggestion to this company? Why don't you turn the camera around and have it just drive the damn car for you? Just have it track the frickin' road instead of my eyes.
Actual cruise control.
This does track the road, and if it sees something coming and it sees that you're not looking, it makes a beeping noise to let you know. And it'll actually tap the brakes so that you'll maybe slow down.
Interesting.
So. It should make that noise that my girlfriend makes sometimes, which...
Right. Yeah,
a little. Oh, my God. That sound of... Absolutely. It makes me
Matt, I've driven with you. Everyone in your car makes that sound.
That's true. Yeah. Does she pump the air brake?
No.
My mom pumps the air brake on the passenger side.
Slams.
Mom, all right. Four traffic lights away. What are you talking about? Okay.
You should hear my mom's Spanish version. Ay!
Okay. The body area network. It's a the body area network for hospitals. So
the
for
body
area
network
area.
Okay, I was gonna say.
Never mind. Body area network. What this does, for example, say a lot of people have pacemakers in their heart instead of I don't know whatever it is, and you can change the way the pacemaker works wirelessly. The doctors can adjust it wirelessly.
This is cool.
So it's kind of a neat idea, you know.
You can do that just by putting them in front of a microwave.
That's true.
That's true, too.
I think that's not with on-off.
The same intended.
Is there a way we can trick Dick Cheney to get in front of a microwave?
Exactly.
Ooh, watch it.
Yeah, seriously.
Can we edit that out?
Okay. Nanoparticle batteries. Even if your batteries lasted 10 times longer, they would still die at the wrong time. Toshiba is developing batteries that use nanoparticles. Basically, what it does is it creates recharging going from 0 to 80% of a charge in 1 minute. Hmm. Talking about your laptop battery.
Damn.
Going from 0 to 80% charge in 1 minute.
And then it takes 15 hours to do from 80 to 100. Like, suddenly it slows down.
Well, yeah, but that's okay.
At that point, who cares?
True. Yeah. So the batteries will appear in cars and factories this year. but they should eventually make their way to laptops and cell phones.
Whoa.
Yeah, who needs a car? Come on, get it in the cell phones.
No,
well.
Get it in my car,
get
man.
Get it in my car.
If my battery goes dead, I don't want to have to drive that damn thing 60 miles in order to fully recharge my battery again.
When was the last time your battery died?
Last year.
Okay, it's happened maybe once my entire lifetime, and yet my cell phone dies every day.
Okay, when I lived in New England, batteries going dead is a constant problem when you live in winter.
Seriously, my...
You know, constant problem.
But probably the reason they're doing them in cars is because size. They have to figure out how to get them smaller.
Right.
Okay. Coal gasification. This is technology that's been around for quite a while, but they're just starting to use it. And basically, this technology turns coal into its gaseous elements, getting rid of all the pollution. Makes it a non-polluting energy source.
Damn.
Power plants in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio have started engineering the design process, which should be completed this fall. A lot of these things have to do with cars. There's another one that's blind spot detection, which is if you start to kind of move over and it sees that there's something in your blind spot, it'll beep and warn you. Same thing.
Jesus.
And in fact, actually, it also said that as you start to do it, your mirror has a little LED light on it that'll say car in your blind spot. So when you go to look, it'll let you know.
Cool.
So that's neat. There's a pedestrian protection system. If you hit a car, if you hit a pedestrian, it'll raise your hood a little bit so that when they hit your hood, they don't smash into your engine, which would be a harder impact on the pedestrian.
Hmm. And better for stuntmen everywhere.
Yes, exactly.
Especially if they install a trampoline on it.
Put a cattle catcher on the front.
This one is awesome. It's called a modular pebble bed reactor. And basically the whole concept of this is, and it's a little hard to describe, but is that this is a new nuclear power plant design, okay, that uses spherical pebbles of radioactive fuel encased in graphite to heat up a gas that runs the generator. And they said you're definitely going to hear about this because it keeps initial capital costs low, and the core is incapable of getting hot enough to melt down.
Wow. That
takes away
cool.
a lot, you know, some of the problems with that. And that's it.
Cool. Yeah. Science, man.
India plans an unmanned Mars mission.
So, really?
Yeah. That's cool. Government in India has already announced plans for a lunar space mission, and after that, it's aiming for Mars. Indian Space Research Organization Chairman G. Madhavan Nair said that the United States and Europe appear to favor a global partnership in this context, and India would be more than willing to be a partner in this huge exercise. For mankind, the next interesting thing after the moon is Mars. So they're gonna try and do it. India's proposed an unmanned scientific mission to the moon called, pardon me while I massacre this, Chandrayaan 1 in early 2008. And after that, it's straight out to Mars.
I love how private companies, you know, countries who at first, you know, had no ambition or even ability to get into outer space now are going to Mars. I mean, this is like cool stuff. It just means that, you know, people are A, interested in it.
Yep.
And two, that the technology has gotten to a point where it's, you don't have to have gazillions and gazillions of dollars to do it.
And also with these, it's interesting with these developing countries that they're kind of trying to go, all right, well, the United States have pioneered everything. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, bypass steps B through F and just go straight boom, boom.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really interesting because I was listening to NPR yesterday and they were talking about how China is going to try President Hu Jintao, so they're going to go directly from a really horrific environmental business system, which they have right now. I mean, they have some of the worst pollution in the world. Yeah. They have green skies, literally.
Mm.
And they're going to try and go directly to a green environmental industry. Like one-to-one
that's the country that could do it.
Mm-hmm. They want to do it in 10 years.
Yep.
And the reason that they can do something like that is because the president is sort of like the CEO of a corporation.
Yep.
And he can say, this is what we're doing. And everyone goes, I guess that's what we're doing.
Yeah. The president's, I think, considered a little bit more than the CEO.
Yeah. Well, no. They're saying,
you're going to do it. Otherwise, we're going to arrest you.
I think it's
smart.
It's just smart.
You don't.
He doesn't have Congress or anything else to deal with.
Yeah, he doesn't have to
deal with it. Right, that's what I mean. He's like a king, I think, what I would put him up.
Yeah, okay.
Like a CEO can't throw you in jail.
Okay.
That's true. Or kill you. That's very good. I mean, that's what I mean. It's like that type of country with that type of leadership can make those changes instantly. There's no...
Yeah.
There's no like convincing 1,000 people to get it to work. He just says, do it, and it happens.
Guess what? The world's oldest democracy has just decided to do the same goddamn thing. Iceland is the first country to try abandoning gasoline. Period.
What?
They're saying they're not going to use gasoline anymore.
Nice.
They have a kind of a unique situation, though, where they're especially well-suited to do this.
Yeah, they're in Iceland.
Yeah. Dog sleds?
Well, no. I mean, they
no,
have...
No, Iceland. That's Greenland.
We have listeners, yeah. I think, in Norway and near there. So
I know we have them in Norway. But and to those of you in Iceland, I'm half Icelandic. Just thought you'd like to know. This is Dawn, by the way. Hi.
So big, giant rowboats with beating drums?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm half Hawaiian, half Icelandic. I'm genetically confused.
You're genetically predisposed to swim.
This is true.
Yeah.
If our listeners could see my hands and feet, they'd understand I actually have paddles.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm actually not meant to be on land.
Yeah, and when Dawn stares at a fish long, suddenly you hear...
I'm actually quite graceful in water. Okay, anyway. Basically, Iceland is setting up a plan where they have all these natural hot water springs all over the place. They're just going to start hooking them up to their cities to start heating their homes with the natural hot water springs. They're going to, but you know how they have water tanks to just give you water? Now they're going to have hot water tanks above the city to supply hot water to flow through your homes and heat your houses.
Funky.
That's cool. On top of it all, they're currently testing hydrogen engine buses in the cities. They've got three different models, and the bus drivers love them. They're saying basically the hydrogen engines they're working with, the fuel is three times more expensive than gasoline, but also provides three times the mileage. So it all kind of balances out.
And they're nobody's bitch.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you know? Middle East, no one's holding them ransom.
Yep, they'd be done now.
You can get hydrogen just about anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, but it's just as hard to get as gasoline, and it's just as environmentally nasty right now.
Hydrogen?
It is? Yeah. I don't know the details, but I was literally listening to a whole thing on why it's hard to crack hydrogen, and it's just as hard.
Unfortunately, the news article I have from ABC News does not give a timetable, so I'm not entirely clear on when they want to be done with all this.
Right.
But it goes to show you don't need a rigid power structure in order to have this sort of thing start happening.
Who's the last little Icelandic woman who's going to be holding on to her Cadillac?
Well, that's it for news this week. So we're going to move into our geek topic of the week.
Excellent.
Yes.
Dawn, what is our geek topic this week?
Our geek topic of the week is mainstream adoption of geek material. Does it take it away from the geek community?
Oh, I thought it was geek adoption. I'm kidding. Stop looking at
me
like that.
So, to clarify,
when Star Wars could become so mainstream,
right,
that everyone and their grandmother owns, Star Wars merchandise,
right?
When your Republican Uncle Ted, let's try that again. When your utterly mainstream Uncle Ted, who's never watched an episode of Buffy, has never role played, doesn't know what a video game is, is wearing Jedi merchandise to watch the premiere of Episode One.
Mm-hmm.
Is this still owned by the geek community? Does it matter that it's not? Or that if it is or if it's not?
I would argue that, in a weird way, Star Wars was never really geek property. I mean, it was a mainstream movie. It did. It was one of the,
I think it started that way.
It was widely accepted. I would say that we co-opted Star Wars. And then when the new movies came out, it was simply re-co-opted back and, naturally into society.
Well, wait.
Interesting piece.
To me, again, the definition of geek is an interest in the socially abnormal.
Or obscure.
Socially obscure. So liking Star Wars is not geeky.
Well.
But collecting Star Wars action figures is geeky. Do you see what I mean? Star Trek is one of the biggest franchises on the planet.
Well, define
not
like.
Geeky. What's that?
I think mainstream society might disagree with you on the Star Trek issue.
Well, no. A lot of people watch Star Trek. Like not everyone who watches Star Trek is considered a geek.
You don't think there's a social stigma attached to watching Star Trek?
I don't think there's a social stigma attached to watching Star Trek. I think there's a social stigma attached to having an unhealthy interest in Star Trek.
I agree.
I think that geeks take it to the next degree. And the same thing with Star Wars.
So it's the level of detail of your knowledge of
said
subject.
It's what you do.
I can't agree on this one because, like, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
uh-huh.
number one time show in its time slot.
Yeah.
People didn't want to admit they were watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer by and large. It was a geek thing.
I didn't see that, to be honest. But of course,
I don't think Buffy is necessarily a geek thing. Like, I know a lot of people who would watch Buffy, and I wouldn't go, oh, man, they're total geeks. But if you...
start wearing Buffy clothes and...
Right.
Okay.
Then I think you start moving into... Now, there are some things...
I don't know what Buffy clothes are, Don.
Now,
I really don't.
In contrast...
I was wondering about that.
For example, video games.
Okay.
Okay. I wouldn't say that anybody who plays a video game is a geek.
Whereas it used to be 5 to 10 years ago,
right.
you were.
Right. Because it is.
So, but that's exactly that. But that plays
so that's
to
our
Don,
topic.
That's what plays to Don's question is whether or not video games have now been co-opted by the mainstream and whether or not, therefore, video games in specific is still a geek product or a geek.
Well, it's interesting.
Demands?
Because I still think, most people play video games. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay.
But.
Take a drink.
Those who play video games, even though they're part of the majority now, tend to be looked down on by people who don't play video games.
Well,
it is
but
still
that's
a socially unacceptable, socially outcast.
I don't think
group.
It is anymore. I think that's changed.
You think video games
have? I think that there
you
are
go
people
out and ask video gamer girlfriends what they think about that.
Actually, I can even
these days. Are you talking about people who are 40 or above?
I'm saying these days.
These days, no. Any kid, if you ask anybody. 25 or like 30 years or under, they don't. If it's not like, what, your boyfriend plays video games? Every boy plays video games.
I gotta tell you, you're out of your gourd because
what are you talking about?
I have to tell you, out of your gourd because Tracy is kind of she's had conversations with her girlfriends
mm-hmm.
about the fact that
Tracy, your wife,
and all Tracy, my wife,
okay,
that we play video games. I mean, she was talking to one of her friends who was going, you know,
how old is the friend?
Her friend,
35?
30. Our age, you know.
35?
I'm 35. Oh, I'm 30. 31. So she was talking to her friend who was saying, you know, about a friend of mine who's mm-hmm. also named Peter. Oh, my God. I mean, he still plays video games.
Okay,
you know?
So I
and
think
Tracy
she's
started,
out of touch with it.
Tracy started laughing hysterically going, you know, it's the same thing with Peter. And they had this long conversation where they were kind of like,
so are you telling me that the biggest media outlet right now is only being played by a couple geeks?
No, that wasn't what I was saying. I was saying that.
But we're saying those people are still perceived as geeks by those who don't participate.
So all of males, every male from 25 years or under, are all geeks?
Are being perceived as geeks when they are participating in that?
Actually, I don't.
Well, if you're perceived as a geek, you are a geek.
Wait. I don't think it's a straight line. I don't think it's like there's a dividing line between geek and non-geek in this. I think that there's still this phenomenon of people playing video games is a relative, you know, at an older age is still a relatively new phenomenon that it's such a widespread event. You know, in the past, like 10 years ago, if you were 30 years old playing video games, you were a geek.
That's what I mean by the age.
Now
you were also
we are
a social. You were a geek in terms of the geek view of a social outcast. You are now still considered geeky if you played video games, but you're no longer a social
I'm
going to
jump.
We're
I'm
in the middle of a transition, so we're still there's still like, both sides.
I'm going to jump on this with you for a moment and say that with Aaron, saying that it also depends a little bit on the video games you play.
Yes.
Right.
If you're playing John Madden with the guys,
not geeky.
No one's going to assume that you're geeky.
I agree.
But if you're playing Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball,
I agree.
Your girlfriend's going to think you're crazy.
And this is what I mean by being
Katamari.
This is what I mean by selecting things that are out of the social norm or acceptance. Is I can say, you know, beam me up, Scotty, in a crowded room of anybody, and everyone might laugh at the joke. Okay, I won't be considered a geek. I show up in my Star Trek uniform, and I'm a dead man.
Aaron, what's the call sign for the Enterprise? What's the NC?
NCC 1701.
Yeah, that would classify.
Okay. Well, you know,
I mean,
okay. Well, let me. I'm sorry.
I would say that there's actually two different types of geeks out there now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I think it's become cool in some ways to be a geek. That's why you see the "I love my geek" T-shirts. Okay.
It is becoming more accepted.
It's becoming more accepted, but yet I think there's still
there's certain geek lines which are
well. There's two types of geeks. There's the type of geeks like the geeks that play video games and stuff. And
hey, Snoop Dogg plays video games.
Relatively normal. Mm-hmm. And then there's the hardcore geeks, which you know are still the ones that have a little social
nerds.
Yeah, nerd geeks. You know.
Those so it's more of a degree of involvement.
How much nerd do you have in your geek?
Well, let me put this
you
out there.
You got your geek in my nerd.
Batman. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you said you liked the Batman genre in 1980, right? Like I liked the Batman superhero. Certain negative connotations would probably be attached to you. As soon as a movie comes out starring Jack Nicholson and who was the other one? Michael Keaton. Thank you. It became slightly more mainstream, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. With the most recent movie, again, major blockbuster, becomes slightly more mainstream. It seems like every geek thing that becomes a mainstream movie of some sort gets taken away from the geek community in
but
some way.
Also, it doesn't get taken away.
It's not taken away.
But isn't that because geeks are getting into positions of power where they're saying, this is what I want to see, and they're sort of exercising their ability to move the capitalist system to basically say, I want to see a Batman movie because I like Batman and I like comic books. I like X-Men. But I like all of these things. So we need to play to men from 15 to 35.
Amen, brother.
They like
Amen.
These comic books. And that's what they grew up
with. But wait a minute. This is what happened. Everything, first of all, it doesn't take anything away.
No,
the problem with geeks and sophisticated New York, death poetry people is they hate to be lumped into the norm. So people think things are being taken away from them. Arty farty crowd say the same thing. Oh, I used to like this book until the movie came out. Now everyone likes it, so I don't like the book anymore. What the hell does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Like, what the hell?
That
are
was
you
actually
going to
be my next example. Music geeks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They love their music until it becomes mainstream.
Oh, man. I like The Cure before anyone, you know, I used to listen to The Cure before everyone else listened to it. Well, who gives a crap? But yeah. That's how mainstream does. Mainstream always, you know, no one just always instantly, the entire public doesn't instantly like something just out of the blue.
So you don't feel that, I'm sorry.
I would say this is actually, I think I like what I'm hearing both from Matt and from Aaron. Because I think it's true. This is not things being taken away from us. This is actually geek infiltration. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. This
so
is like
geek infiltration.
This is like, you know, America shipping its culture out to the rest of the world and turning them into us. Okay, this is our way. This is our way of empowering ourselves. See, this is why people have "I Love My Geek" T-shirt. This is why geeks can get hot girls now. It's because of this.
All right. Your base.
Do you hear me? Are you with me, brothers?
Yeah, I mean,
sing it, brother, sing it. Hallelujah.
The geeks now can take your girlfriend to a Lord of the to go see Lord of the Rings.
I mean, yeah, hello. I think that has a lot to do with Woody Allen. I think that some
because and you would dress her as Galadriel. It's like,
yay. Specifically because Woody Allen originally started off by creating the idea that it was okay for a really pretty woman to have a pseudo intellectual, wacko, not that attractive boyfriend. Hmm. who was pretty damn funny and could come up with sort of pithy arguments, and thereby it was, you know, they felt intellectual and sort of about raised up by him.
I think I think it was Marilyn Monroe.
Because she went out with
Arthur Miller.
Yeah, she was the one that would go, you know, she didn't necessarily always hook up with the superstar, you know, like the hot superstar, Arthur Miller.
God, I love that woman.
So, anyway, but yeah, I, you know.
Well, okay, well, let me throw this one out there. All right, just as a slight curveball, maybe. Okay? Imagine a movie comes out, okay? Populated with centaurs, fauns,
lions,
nymphs, dryads,
wardrobes,
okay? Lions, sorceresses, all that kind of stuff. Would you expect this to be a geek phenomenon?
You would expect it, yeah.
Okay. Add the massive Christian element of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Don't think it has anything to do with it.
The Christian society in the United States mm-hmm. is almost the definition of our mainstream society.
No.
They rule. They I absolutely don't. Rule our...
Yeah.
I don't...
How can you disagree with that?
I don't... what I think rules is media. The reason why everyone went to go see Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is because it was shoved down everybody's face.
So you think the same thing with Passion of the Christ?
It was McDonald's cups. It was constant television.
But I don't think everyone did go
Passion
to
of the Christ.
What's that?
I don't think everyone did rush out to Narnia. When Lord of the Rings came out, also incidentally written by a Christian writer, mm-hmm. everyone and their grandmother showed up dressed as wizards and elves and all that crap.
Okay.
When Narnia came out, which is a much more overtly Christian piece, mm-hmm. I didn't see anyone dressed up at the premiere.
No, I think because...
I saw much less geek rush to see Narnia.
I agree.
Despite having, a well-known cast, another very lauded...
but it's not as... It does,
special
it's not
effects
as impact.
Studio making.
The book has never been Lord of the Rings type of geek. The geeks don't sit there and just go on and on and on about Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. They never have.
Hold on. But uh-huh. With a lot of geeks I know, mm-hmm. it was a geek entry drug for a lot of geeks.
It's true.
And so it has a nostalgia factor that may almost match, may surpass Lord of the Rings.
No.
For a lot of geeks, it does.
I don't think it surpasses. I don't think it surpasses.
It was an entry drug, I'll agree. And it was something that we all have nostalgia for, I'll agree. But in no way does it affect... people's passion for Lord of the Rings far outstrips their passion for Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
How many role playing? Well, how many
that's
Narnia role playing games?
Thing. But I'm saying, as a mature reader, there is no comparison. The plot, the depth, the structure of Lord of the Rings easily surpasses Narnia and all of the other.
How many role playing games? How many board games? How many collectible card games? How many books of maps and all that have you ever seen of Narnia compared to Lord of the Rings? Even before the movies.
There are a few, but they're,
There are a few.
When was the last...
not a role-playing
game. Find a role-playing game of Narnia that happened before.
I know two or three of them before the movie came out.
Right? I know the earliest cartoon of... The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was more successful than the Lord of the Rings cartoon Ralph Bakshi.
Not
The Hobbit. The Hobbit way beat the crap out of both of them. But I
do hear what you're saying, that there was definitely nostalgia for it. It's just that there wasn't the passion. Nostalgia is not the same thing as passion. People had passion for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Because it has more resonance. More emotional resonance than Narnia has.
Yes, but does making the Narnia a Christian event, does that take it away from the geek?
Let me also throw out...
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Let me throw out here, though, that with the geek community doesn't need much of an excuse to dress up.
But the problem
and
was...
And nobody dressed up for Narnia.
Yeah, but... And you're correct about that. And that was because of the marketing. You're right. That did take it away from the geeks in some ways because... It tapped into different things. I mean,
where's also the condemnation? This is what I wanted to know: is when Harry Potter came out, which is a mm-hmm. geek event, a baby geek event, but still a geek event. Mm-hmm. There was like, it's magic, it's horrible, it's satanistic. You know, don't go see Harry Potter. Don't read the books.
It's the magic picking and choosing. It's the same as always.
The magic in Narnia was. The evil witch had magic.
Yeah.
Everything else came from sort of a spiritual place.
The bad guys had magic. And there's no magic on the good guys' side except for Aslan.
Well, they have magic items.
Yeah, but that's not,
not
the same
really.
Thing.
If they're not really. They don't do anything magical.
They have the potion. What is the potion?
It's medicine.
The potion that heals. The sword that, you know, the arrow that will always fly to its...
Those can both be explained.
Yeah, it's at least a plus five sword of sharpness.
No. I really disagree on this one. Every single item they're given can be said to be magical, or you can simply accept that they have some sort of skill with it.
I disagree.
I'd like to see their
The weapons throws. Were very clearly – what they were given were very clearly special weapons. But the question is, where did that power come from?
Right. Within, Matt. Within.
Was it –
They were given to them by a Christian saint in the
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. So,
in the book, they're given by the embodiment of Christ in the book. Mm-hmm. But I still say in the movie, you don't see magic.
Oh,
they don't
– The same thing. The book and the movie
do
is the same.
Magic.
Santa Claus came.
No. In the book, this is a big point for me with the Narnia thing. In the book, Aslan gives them the weapons when they get to him.
No, that's not true.
Yes.
No, it is not.
Yes.
No, Santa Claus shows up. I just read the book.
I read the book too.
All right, we'll have to look that up because I'd swear to God that
my memory
that
of
Saint
the book
Nick
is they come up. Across a party
wait.
Of animals celebrating that Saint Nick has been there. Father Christmas has come.
No, Father Christmas shows up when they're exactly like the movie. They hide because they think it's the witch. He shows up. The beaver leaves the thing. They go, the beaver's dead. Mr. Beaver's dead. And he goes, come on out, kids. And there's Santa Claus. When he hands them all
we'll have to
stuff.
Look this up. When did you read the book
last, Don?
Like, this is going to clear it up.
Like four years ago.
4 years ago. When did you read it last?
About 4 months ago.
Okay, so, you know.
They're right there.
We'll look it up.
We'll look it up. But why were we even talking about that?
Well, they're not.
The whole point is delivering. The good guys don't show magic,
right?
It's simply, you know, this magic is the belief in this will let you do great things. The potion is the arguable one. It's medicine, whatever.
All right, let's get back.
The White
Witch
is throwing magic around and is evil,
right?
You know.
Let's spin this back toward the topic.
But the question is whether or not you still think that Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a geek event because it has been co-opted by
again,
the Christian right so
again,
far.
Again, it's what you do with...
It was a Christian piece. I mean, you have to...
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Put that out
and
there right out.
It's a beautiful
out, you know?
Christian.
But it's what you do with any material. Whether it's video games, do you just play Madden? Okay, you're not a geek. But do you collect every Katamari, variation is released, and okay, but might be a little geeky.
But the thing about it is that if you look at old Christian stuff, I mean, if you go to some of the old chapels and like that in Europe, you see centaur and fauns and like that all in the filigree because it was accepted as just as much of a reality as anything that was within the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's only recently that stuff has been called, you know, myth and fable and everything like that.
Okay.
And that we've accepted it, and that then, because that's myth and fable, that becomes geeky, you know, and this remains mainstream.
The last point I wanted to touch on is it seems like a lot of geek things that are adopted by mainstream are usually adopted by mainstream as a thing for juveniles, right? Star Wars, Narnia, superhero movies, all of this stuff is not accepted for adults aside from a casual diversion for a brief moment, maybe on a date or with your kids. Why do you think that is?
Wait, what is geared toward
kids?
Well,
When we have like a new Batman movie come out, it's sort of really considered, at least in people's minds, to be for like 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. Now, adults may go to it, you know, but you know that's almost like it's sort of a casual. Let's go see the Batman movie. Whereas it's really, you know, its seat of existence is around. Kids
around 12.
So you
12
think
to 18
years. I would say like Lord of the Rings too. The majority of marketing was done for children.
No.
For spin-offs for children.
Wait. You actually guys believe that they gave $300 million to what's his face? Because they think they're going to get 16-year-olds to see Lord of the Rings.
No, they were guaranteeing
that every.
You're missing my point. That's not what I was saying. Okay. What I was saying is that psychologically people consider these things. Not in reality. We're talking about the bridge between psychology and reality. Reality is everyone went to go see Batman.
No. And everyone who made that movie knew it was going for 35-year-old guys who read the book.
I'm sure. But we're not talking about
the movies themselves. We're not talking about reality.
We're talking about psychology. Maybe the people who made it knew it was going to go there. Yeah. But most people consider the Batman movies to be for kids.
And you can look at it in their marketing tie-ins.
What's the
main marketing tie-in for Lord of the Rings? Burger King. Burger King's cups, toys for children. You know, it's always.
I think that they try to hit everybody, but I don't think Burger King cups necessarily only goes for kids.
I think that's wrong because what's happened is basically that geeks have extended childhood. I mean, what used to be considered geeky comic books, video games, everything, all of these are quote-unquote child's play.
Yes.
You know? So now what's happened, what's become sort of the adult what's become geek, quote-unquote, is that we've moved childhood a little bit further. So that when people can look at Batman movie and like that for a 25-year-old, they're saying, well, you know, this is extending childhood. This is taking your Star Wars from when you were 4 and 5 and 10 and whatever and looking at it and saying, all right, here's now Star Wars as an adult. Check it out. Mm-hmm. But it's still extending your childhood. And that's what, in a sense, makes it geeky.
Yeah, and I think there are some people like maybe Tracy's friends who are the ones who are probably now slowly becoming the minority where they go, you know, he reads comic books still?
I think
really they are the ones that are on the outs when almost everybody is playing video games now.
So then that bears the question.
They either have not talked to a soul in 10 years, no. Or they're only talking to a group of people who are not playing video games. That literally everybody's playing video games.
You're right. Literally everybody is playing video games, but I think they were just recognizing that there's a transition going on, and we are the transition.
We're on the forward edge of the transition.
Okay. We are the transition. I totally agree.
Because you talk to someone who's 40, and you won't see this, you know.
Right.
At 35, you start to see it. At 30, it's firmly in place.
Right. I totally agree with that.
By 25 and 20, you know, I mean, it's
But what's happened is
cemented.
We're moving this wake of nerd destruction behind us, and your wife's friends are being left behind. They're still thinking like they did when we were all in high school. If I was in high school and I played video games, I was a big nerd, and that's the way they're thinking.
Well, I don't.
We're
think that,
moving forward, and I they're in were, high school.
I think you were a big nerd, whether or not you played video games, Aaron.
Oh, I was a big nerd. I didn't play video games in high school.
Really?
I don't think
there's so much being left behind. You know, because I don't think that they're...
Well, they haven't connected to the reality that, you know, the biggest form of media right now is video games.
Just because they have one conversation about recognizing something that's going on, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they're denying it vehemently and saying, don't go play video games and this is wrong. I mean, that's...
But they were shocked that you're such a child.
Well, yeah, of course they're shocked. They're women. They're shocked at how childish we are. We're men. You think that this is a new conversation? Come on. Talk to your mother. Talk to your sister. This is a conversation. Talk to your grandmother.
All right.
Yeah,
right.
It's interesting. Yeah, you know what? But that begs the question, though. What remains geeky then? What is still back out of the mainstream then? If we're pushing the mainstream, what's still geeky?
The far fringe of trivia. Okay. In other words, a lot of information about Batman is no longer trivia because it's out there in the mainstream because it's been distributed by mainstream entertainment sources.
Mm-hmm. So the guy who says, that's not real Batman.
So when someone starts talking about, you know, in episode 321 of, you know, Batman whatever, you know.
Detective Comics 36.
Detective Comics. When they start doing that, then yes, that's trivia. That becomes geek trivia.
That's
but when you start talking about the movies, everyone knows them.
Right.
You know, now, if I start talking about what happened when they were making the movies, you know, like behind
the
scenes,
movie geek.
Then I'm a movie geek because that's trivia that not everyone has. Mm-hmm. If you start talking about comic book stuff, that's comic stuff.
But, right. but the way we've done it, it's like if you take an interest in anything, then you're a geek. That's with that format, anything.
Well,
anything that's not socially accepted.
No.
Movie stuff is socially acceptable.
But if you take an interest in just the Batman movies and you mm-hmm. watch them, that's not geeky.
Yeah,
if you take that interest beyond just what is now out there in the mainstream, if you take it to finding out details about the movies that aren't readily accessible, that becomes geeky.
But do we still have
it's not just an interest, it's an interest outside of a certain sphere of knowledge.
But what I'm saying is that's kind of arbitrary because most people I know, most everyone I know, geek, mm-hmm. non-geek, everyone, mm-hmm. they're kind of interested if they've seen the movie and, oh, you know something cool about what happened while they were filming it? Tell me. I'm interested. Please tell me.
It's also Hollywood.
But it's not –
There's not
the fact that you tell someone. It's the fact that you know it. In other words, if you've watched Batman –
Yeah, but now they know it. Normal. Are they a geek now?
They don't have the body of knowledge to make them a geek.
They've rubbed against
it. Just because you've given them – look, if I tell someone that in episode 321 –
But we're putting it forward that it's an interest that makes it
geeky. No. Sorry. Let me redefine what I mean by interest. Interest doesn't just mean a passing interest. Interest means a sustained, you know, depth interest. You know, so if you have an interest to develop a lot of knowledge about something – If you have a lot of trivia.
So basically, the act of research makes you a geek.
No, obviously.
The act of accumulation.
It's
your action. I mean, obviously there's no formula to detect whether you're a geek or not. But you can, you know, it's like,
you get a geek detector
it's like art or pornography.
It's like art or pornography.
You can, you know, when you see it, you know what it is. I mean, you know, somebody – we'll have a party and watch Lord of the Rings here and we'll get all sorts of people. We all enjoy Lord of the Rings. Somebody will stand out in the room as a geek because he or she may know all five swords of Gandalf. Now,
They may not be a geek, but if I only knew that person for the first 5 minutes, I might start detecting some geek in them. Okay, why does this person know all the swords that Gandalf owned by name? I don't know. Were they just told that before they walked in the door? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're not a geek. If after that they start pulling out all their Lord of the Rings role-playing books, I might make a second assumption. Does someone let them borrow that? I don't know. But the chances are now they're probably firm into my geek detector. Okay?
If they then pull back their hair.
And there are rubber ears on. Bing-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. They're a geek.
It does seem to be true, though, that geek stuff seems to be infectious. I mean, what we're talking about is just, you know, gathering a body of knowledge makes you a geek, right? But, like, Maureen was not much of a geek when you married her, mm-hmm. Aaron. But she seems to have acquired quite the body of geek knowledge.
I don't think that geek stuff is infectious. I think love is infectious. And I think geeks have such love for their subjects. Oh, my God, look at this. And their enthusiasm for it is what carries it.
That's true.
It's not
half the people I know now have seen Babylon 5.
It's not the items in and of itself. It's how much you go, oh, my God. And they like you so much for having that enthusiasm about that product.
Yeah, I mean, my wife is becoming more geeky just by she's getting worn down.
That's because you're a geek grenade.
It's like the total grind. I, you know, she can't.
He's not a geek grenade. He's a geek mortar.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I see her trying to resist.
Yeah.
She can't.
She can't. It's like, you know, it's like totally just she's being
like,
worn
no!
down.
She gets these biographies of presidents. Yeah. And it's not working.
No.
All right. Well, shall we do a little of our bit?
Let's do the mail first, and then we'll move into our bit.
Excellent.
I didn't print out any mail this time. Do you have
I have a piece of mail.
Okay. That was... This is one the guy calling us out on our comic?
No. I didn't do that. I just wanted
We need to get back in touch with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do a little thing. It was a hi from sunny Australia. He said he'd been listening for quite a while now, and he thought he'd drop a line to say hello. He really enjoyed listening to some of the comments about torture and its justifiability. One very interesting point that wasn't raised was the effect that torture can have on how the enemy perceives you. For example, the problems at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq have made the situation over there much more difficult than they might otherwise have been, and yes, I believe that orders and encouragement were passed down from the top for this activity to occur. Also, if you employ torture, then you really can't take the high ground when the enemy does it too. Anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more from you guys. Some potential topics, geeks in the workplace, geeks on holiday, do you know how hard it is to get a Wi-Fi connection on the Inca Trail? anime, particularly the issues raised in series like Ghost in the Shell. Oh, and Aaron, he wants you to stay away from the imdb.com discussion boards on your sister. You might feel a little weird after reading some of the compliments left there.
Oh, dear.
Nice. You might not know this, but she's really hot.
I think he's got some really good points there.
Geek out.
That I mean, Michael. You know, might have been better than some of the ones we raised because... That's really true. I mean, when you lose the moral high ground,
I thought you were talking about Aaron's sister being hot. Yeah, that's true too.
You're right. We lose moral high ground
kind of
when we
smoking, isn't she? I mean, when she was in this room, I mean, you know, the temperature raised a good 10 degrees.
Oh my goodness!
Woo! All right.
Oh my goodness.
Anybody else have a mail?
Yeah.
Okay. So we do have a geek bit this week. We all came up with haiku about our favorite geek television shows. Mine are not very good. But and I did not do Battlestar because I thought everyone might be doing Battlestar.
I did not do Battlestar either.
I didn't do Battlestar.
I did.
Ah,
yay!
Yay!
Somebody
won.
That's good.
I knew somebody
would. All right.
I hope none of you do anything about the OC.
All right. So I brought in one more than I told everyone else to, so I'll go first.
I have a bunch, so
I only have one.
Okay. Serenity. A Leaf in the Wind. A great tale to tell about what? We've been canceled?
That's nice. Mine actually also bears a little bit of canceling in it.
Oh, okay. Right.
Farscape. Crichton looks for home. Hunted runs from wacky shit. Canceled in 4 years.
Aw. No, that's 4 years is better than one.
That's true, man. You know.
Mine's obviously Battlestar.
Cylons attacked. Now humans search for lost Earth. Legend or a myth?
He went through the Japanese formula.
Torture, bombs, germs, guns. Endless cell phone battery. Hour of Bauer.
Oh,
I love that.
Right. Lost. An airplane crashes. Plots all over the damn place. Less clear than Twin Peaks.
I had two for Robotech.
Okay.
Large-eyed Micronians flee. Battle Zentradi across space. Min Mei sings the blues.
Very nice.
Or, what's protoculture? Wouldn't humans like to know? Find out next week's show.
All right, I have two.
Have they started the season, or when does it start?
Robotech?
No, this is from way back.
Way back.
All right, this here's two about Smallville. Green rock makes you weak. Red turns you into a freak. Silver black, who knows? And my other one, Kansas hottest teens, Lana still smokes Boomer and Six. Lane in swimsuit, sweeps. Thank you very much.
Very nice, very nice. All right, I have a serious one in dedication to Babylon 5. Twixt light and darkness, who are you? What do you want? Shadows are watching.
Ooh. I actually did do one about Battlestar, I forgot. Boomer or Starbuck? Or Boomer or Number Six? This we'll never know.
How about Boomer and Six?
Oh.
Do you have another?
Yeah, I have another one. This is from the old Incredible Hulk series.
Oh.
Don't make me angry. Bruce Banner turns into Hulk, ripping shirt, so gay.
It should be ripping shirt, not pants.
Ah, true.
Okay, my last
that
one.
That works, too.
Dedicated to Enterprise. This crew boldly goes where we have all gone before, but this time naked.
That's funny.
Excellent. Is that all of our haiku?
That's it. That is good. I just have one link. The War Gamer Frapper page. You know, we have a Frapper page with our listeners. Well, if you go to frapper.com/warplayers, there's a Frapper page where everyone has posted their where they are and their email addresses and whether they want to play some war games. So you can find people in your area, contact them, and get some gaming on. So
very
anyway,
nice.
Check that out.
Cool.
I also have a link that I forgot to email you, but I'll give it to you soon. We did an article, or we talked briefly about an interview with Steven Spielberg at one point.
Yeah.
Where he said the video game industry would never be its own art form until they came up with a video game that could make you cry.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that conversation?
Way back.
Clouds.
A video game has made me cry. I was stunned. The movies had its Christmas competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the winning movie moved me to tears.
Really?
Oddly enough,
genuinely.
The video game is a movie, so it's a movie that made you cry.
It is a video game that made me cry because
interesting.
It was scored. It made points. Oh. It was a competition, and it made points and made money, so it's a video game.
Yeah, and you're going to put a link to the specific
movie? We'll put
movie.
A link to that movie if people are interested in seeing it.
All right, I can't wait.
I got a couple of things. One is a link which I just found hilarious. There are all these stores which are now painting ads on their roofs for Google Maps.
Oh, really?
So that Google Maps, when you zoom down in, you can see this is a Target from the top, and you'll see the Target logo.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
I think that's great.
So they're painting these gigantic ads on their roofs so that when you use Google Maps, you'll be advertised, and you got
to
see it.
No, listen, you got the Target there that you know where to send the bombs. It's great.
I have one more real quickly.
Why is it ads making it onto the roofs before art?
Well, yeah, but the great thing is it helps you figure out where the store is, which is kind of cool.
I mean, I get it, but God,
as long as
awful.
You can't see it from the ground, I'm fine. Who cares? Gamer Widow is a website for the from the person who is has a relationship with a gamer, and they sell all sorts of really fun T-shirts, one with a big Black Widow on it. It says, like, gamer on there. And they also have the I Love My Geeks and that type of stuff. But it's a pretty cool website and also actually gives you some information in case you are a real gamer widow and you need some help. You can find links on how to get some therapy and stuff.
All right. And my last one is... you know the stickers that people put up all over town of Che? With
yeah.
the hat and the symbol and the center.
Oh, yeah,
of it,
yeah, yeah.
They've now done a Stormtrooper head with a Che hat mm-hmm. on it. And it's specifically for this rap group called Heavy Ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And they are cool. They are really, really good. I would recommend going to this website and listening to it. Because specifically, they've done a rap based on the Imperial March. And it's good. It's really, really
it's good.
Good.
You stopped it where you did, Matt.
Oh man, it's
so we're gonna have a link to that video.
You got to go to the video and listen to it. Also, they're releasing their CDs in this brilliant format where you get it in an ammo case, and in the ammo case they put the CD and T-shirts and stickers of Stormtroopers and Boba Fett and stuff
like
that.
You can't steal that. See, that's good marketing. They'll go buy their CD because it comes with all the cool stuff.
It
does. Sure, you can download it for free online, but you get all the cool stuff that way.
Yep.
Excellent.
Anything else?
I think we're good.
Yay!
All righty. Our Geeks birthday. On. Geeks
Thanks
on,
for stopping in.
Geeks on Birthday is coming up in February.
Woohoo!
So,
right. Along with a very special Geeks on episode, you'll know what we're talking about when it happens.
Oh, yeah? Do I know? What
yes, episode? You know.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
To me.
I don't think I know. But, all right, so. Oh, I see.
There were hand signals. You missed
yeah,
it.
If you could see us, you would have found out. So, anyway, we will see all you guys later.
Have a great Geek Week,
exactly.
Everyone.
Exactly. Bye.
Geek it out. Geek it out.